Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Well, it's so good to be back on tonight. And I want each and every one of you to know that I truly miss being with you guys on last Wednesday. And we stayed prayerful for you. And I just want you to know that I'm glad to be of service on tonight. There's so much going on in the world. And the reason I decided to do the lesson that I decided to do is because if we evaluate everything that's going on, one of the key elements that you'll notice that's many times missing is love. So tonight we're going to review some scriptures about it, and I hope at the end of the program you guys make some comments about it, and we're going to go away from there. We're going to go from there. So the first thing that I want you to know that our lesson tonight is coming from the book of 1 John. The 4th chapter, the 17th through the 21st verse. And the title of the lesson is, God is the essence of love. Pure love. Complete love. Full love. And what we got to do now is we're going to have a song. And I'm asking Minister Elyria Mackey, once the song is over, that she would lead us to the throne of grace. I just want you guys to know that I truly love you guys. And coming on every Wednesday night is a labor of love, not predicated on me, but the God that lives inside of me. You know, we as people, we get overwhelmed quickly. Many times we're in the race and we get out the race after a short distance. The Bible tells us the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. And I always think about the fact that I know that I'm not perfect. But what God has given me in my hand, I will be faithful. So I'm going to play a song, and the song is called Justified. And you know, the only reason we are justified is because of the love of God. All things through Christ Jesus. Not nothing we could do ourselves. So listen to the song, and Sister Maggie, I'm asking that you would lead us in prayer to the throne of grace. Thank you.
I've been made free
despite my enemies.
They said I couldn't, but God. They said I should have been dead, but God. They said I should have been sick, but God.
And that song is letting us know everything is predicated on God. The guy in the song even say, don't ever get it twisted that you think you're doing something on your own or you have the power or even the strength. At this time, we're going to let Sister Maggie lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for another evening, oh God, that we can come together and fellowship with one another. God, we ask that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, oh God, because your word declares with all thy getting, get an understanding. So, God, we thank you for Minister Diane on this afternoon, that she come to break bread, oh God. God, and you said to study to show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, God, we thank you because we realize that your word is truth. And you said in your word that it will go out and it will not return back void, but it will accomplish everything it was set forth to do. You said you sent forth your word and your word healed, oh God. God, we ask that you would send your word out tonight, Lord God, and that we would receive your word, oh God, and that it accomplish what it was set forth to do, because we realize that we are your purchased possession. God, and you told us that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that you are the Holy One. You are the Righteous One. God, you give increase, oh God, and we thank you for increase. We thank you because we recognize that these idle vessels are perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day, and we renewed by the word of God. It's the word that keeps us, it's the word that guides us, it's the word that directs us. Oh, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus, that you sent to redeem us back to you. And we call it on you and telling you that we are grateful for opening up our understanding. We're grateful that you call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We are grateful that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are grateful, Lord, that we are your chosen people, oh, God. And for that, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. God, and we even lift up those that are on the prayer list tonight, Lord, that you would give strength, Lord God. We lift up those that have lost loved ones. We ask that you would bind up broken hearts and give peace that passes all understanding. It is in Jesus' name that I call it all done. Amen, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank Sister Elyria for that wonderful prayer. And I thank God for her always ready to be of service for God. God honors that. You be blessed, my sister, and thank you.
Okay.
As I said earlier, our lesson is coming from 1 John 4:17-21. And it's talking about God is the essence of love. And like I said at the end of the program, I hope that you guys press the one button and add to the lesson. But I'm going to give a little background on Apostle Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul is the author of 5 New Testament books. The Apostle John is the author of 5 New Testament books. The Gospel of John, the 3 short epistles, letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And I like to always mention that John is not the author of Revelation. He's the one that did the writing for Revelation, because Revelation is a book about Jesus Christ written with the information from Jesus Christ. Jesus told John what to write and showed him things and told him what to write in a book. But John is the one that penned the book of Revelation. You see, the Apostle John is often confused with John the Baptist. I'd be surprised that many people always tell me that they thought that John the Baptist was the one that wrote the Gospel of John to different people. John was the son of Zebedee, which the scripture says. And the reason sometime when they'll say John, the son of Zebedee, and or James, the son of, or whatever like that, they are identifying the people. Because in those days, so many people's name was John. Just like with Mary Magdalene, it wasn't her last name. It was the place she came from. So they always try to give an identifying thing that you could distinguish between the people with the same names. So they say John, the son of Zebedee. John was a part of God's, of Jesus' inner circle. You see, it was Peter, James, and John who was with Jesus at a lot of pivotal moments in his life, in his walk, while he was teaching and during his time on earth. And this James was John's brother, not Jesus' half-brother James. So we're going to have it in perspective. You see, the inner circle, which I told you was John, Peter, and James, you know, they were with Jesus when he showed certain things and did certain things, even when he went in a garden of Gethsemane to pray. He took certain ones with him. And even though John wrote all of these books and God used him in a mighty way, John, just like us, had shortcomings. But what happened, as he began to grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he began to age well. And this should be also be our goal. You know, there was times in our life we did it any kind of way we wanted, when we wanted, how we wanted. But you have to ask yourself and sometimes look in the mirror and say, I'm saved, now what? You see, he became matured. You see, and after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he became a pillar in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem church. He began to minister with Peter. And finally, he was exiled on the island of Patmos by the Romans. And those who know the story know that they couldn't stop him up from talking about Jesus. And for whatever the reason, because he was well-liked, they didn't want to kill him. So they put him on an island that he would be isolated, and they figured that the people couldn't get the word of God. And John was on the Isle of Patmos. But that's where he received from God the majestic vision that comprised the book of Revelation. God can do what he wants, when he wants. If God be for you, man can't be against you. If God has something he wants you to do, no man can shut the door. And if God wants you to walk through a door, no man can shut the door. And if he wants you to come from out something, no man could keep the door shut. You see, God is in control. And God has the right to do whatever he wants. That's why we say, Lord, let your will be done. And we don't even have to tell him because his will is going to be done. You see, John was the one when he went with his mother to Jesus to ask for a position at the right, at the left hand or the right hand of Jesus on the throne, of God on the throne. That's when Jesus had to teach them who want to be the greatest. John did those things. You see, but by the time of the crucifixion, Jesus had enough confidence in this young man to turn the care of his mother over to him. And it was a charge that John took seriously. From that day on, John cared for her as if she was his own mother. You know, Jesus called John the beloved disciple. And he outlived, I'm talking about John. John outlived all of the disciples. And it was strange because he was the youngest. And that he was the only one that died a natural death. All of the other disciples was martyred one way or another. Crucified, head cut off, stoned, dropped in oil, all kind of ways for lifting up the name of Jesus. They faced persecution, and they kept going. They knew it meant death. And today we're not even faced with all of that, and we won't even mention Jesus' name to someone else. You are only being taught that you may teach. Everything that God is allowing the Holy Ghost to illuminate and revelate inside of you is not just for you to sit on. We all have to be about our Father's business. As John learned and as he matured, if we speak the truth in love, he knew that those he touched will grow into maturity as well. John, writing, if you look at it, is all about truth and love, this fourth chapter of 1 John. And you see, in the Gospel of John, if you ever paid attention, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then there's John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke taught and wrote things that Jesus did. But when you get over to the Gospel of John, John talks about who Jesus is. Because John, the Gospel of John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So that's just some background on John the Apostle. And you can read up on it for yourself. And if we go into the lesson now, I'm in 1 John, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read the 18th verse. And it reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love." I don't know what you thought about when you read that, you know, but I had to do, you know, some reading and studying to see, you know, just what John was talking about. But you see, the primary way Christians ought to be recognized is by love. John wants you to know that. This is not merely what you feel, but what you do for God and others, because you got to remember, only those things you do for Christ will last. You see, true godly love is the most powerful evidence of being born again as a child of God. Can you say you're a child of God? Is there any evidence in your life that love can be seen and they could see the God in you? You see, this love comes from God who loved us before we even loved him. When we live in obedience to God according to love, we can be confident in our relationship with him and have no need to fear his judgment. See, so that's what they're talking about. Love, perfect love, casts out fear. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to be able to not be fearful for the things of the world or what people can say or be concerned about what people could do you. Because if God is for you, who could be against you? And you don't have to worry about your afterlife. Because if you do and you haven't accepted Christ and you unsure about your salvation, you are probably walking in fear, hoping to be saved, hoping to do good enough to be saved. But you see, the perfect love, which is Jesus Christ, that God extended to us, towards us all that believed on him, we don't have to fear because fear have torment. That's what the scripture says. You see, this certainly applies to unbelievers, but it can also include believers who are not growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is the growing, maturing believers who can look forward to their future with joy rather than fear. You know, many things come up in our life, and it's so easy to fall back into fear because when things go on, usually we're looking at just what we could see and we don't know. You know, it's the uncertainties that, you know, many times make us go into fear. But who can be against you? And whom or what should you fear? Because the perfect love of God is with you. It'll never leave you. And your salvation, if you accept Christ with your whole heart, is signed, sealed, and will be delivered to God once we return back to the Father with Jesus. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. That's so interesting and it's so true because we have to realize we didn't love God first. Remember, we was doing our own thing. And how can we trust that God loved us first? See, God don't do anything without giving evidence, without giving facts that you could evaluate and know that is real. You see, the Bible says while we were yet in our sin, God came and took us in. I want you to know that we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And it was always by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, this little short verse which says, we love him because he loved us first. This short verse offers profound words. You see, people do not wake up one morning and decide to love God. You have to remember God is the essence of love. He created love. and he demonstrate his love towards us. Let me show you how much God loves you. The scripture already told you that while you were sinners, he loved you. And if he loved you while you were in your sin, now that you're following him, trying to do the best that you could, and recognizing who he really is, trying to be obedient and love on him, how much more do you think he has in store for you? I often have to tell Satan, if you didn't get me while I was out there, you don't have a chance now. It is so amazing. We can't take the credit for the love we have for God or for others, because it is God working in us. God said in Philippians 2 and 13, it is I that work it in you to will and to do my good pleasure. God asks us to take on the image of his son, which is pure love. So he gave us this stuff inside of us. He gave the directions to the Holy Ghost to just work it together for our good in us, that we could love him with our whole heart and begin to love one another. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. You see, God commanded his love towards us. We know that. Christ died for us. You see, God's love. Watch this. John 3:16. God so loved the world. Come on, y'all. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize while we were in our sin, God could have looked the other way? Because there's so many times in our life that God is asking us to do something or affording the privilege for us to be able to serve someone or to be able to love someone or be able to help someone. And our mind is not trained to it. And I'm not saying this is bad people. Not all of them. But you have to have it. You got to allow the spirit that's working in you to truly open up your eyes. You got to listen to the voice of God when he's telling you, look at that lady. You know, when he's telling you, look the man down the street. God may be telling you these things and you just letting it go over your head over and over and over again. And many times, I'm not going to say, I'll put it like this. Many times, it's because it's just not a concern. Do you ever be concerned with helping someone? Do you ever be concerned with just loving somebody that you may think they don't deserve love? You see, before we accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit came to live in us, we had no means, no knowledge, an understanding of God's love, or even know how to properly love one another. And since God came when you accepted him, he gave you his spirit. The spirit filled your soul. The spirit came in with the fruit of the spirit. And they don't put an S on it because God wants you to operate in all of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, come on, goodness, kindness, faith, Do you ever look at that and see if that's in your life? Has it ever been important as much as you hear the fruit of spirit, the fruit of the spirit, to visit it and examine yourself? I'm telling you, time is running out. And only those things we do for Christ is going to last. You see, if we spend all our time daily with the things of the world trying to get and get more, entertaining ourselves with the things of the world, spending most of our time with the world, y'all have to remember God is a jealous God. And God deserves all the honor, the glory, and the praise. It belongs to him. He created us to give him glory. Can you take an evaluation of yourself and ask yourself, when was the last time you gave God glory? Or is it important to you? We have to get out of our selfish ways. We in this world, but we're not of this world. We live in the kingdom of God here on earth. And let me just paint this picture for you. Hallelujah. You see, God created his kingdom on earth because he knew he wanted us separated from the world. We had to be in it, but we shouldn't act like it. We shouldn't be as they are. But look how God did. You could have just imagined this. If God established a kingdom on earth for his children, don't you know he has provided everything in that kingdom for us to live a righteous life? Come on now, y'all. And then all of us have a special gift, a special talent. All of us have more time than others. All of us have more knowledge than others. And if everybody in the kingdom would play even a small part, this kingdom would be dynamite. We have so much hits and misses because the foundation is not built on love. Hallelujah. You know, we go to church and they beat up on you about you got to get it right and you need to tithe and you need to study more and you need to grow in grace. And if you look back all the way to the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament, people have failed God. People have failed God. And I sit back and I look at it a lot of times and say, what is missing? I'm sure there's many things that may be missing and there may be many causes as to why. But tonight I can only speak of one that touched my heart. And the answer to that is love. You know, there's a scripture that says that the Jesus was teaching and the man that was good in the law and knew the law, he came to Jesus and he was speaking of the Ten Commandments, but he said the commandments. And the scripture says he took the first tablet. Evidently, the commandments was wrote on two tablets. The first tablet had four commandments, which was towards God. The second tablet had six commandments that was us dealing with others. Now, God gave us six commandments to deal with each other and only demanded four commandments from us to him. Come on, y'all. So the man took and asked Jesus, which was the greatest commandment of those things? And Jesus told him, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But you see, the scripture goes on, and the scripture says, if you do these things, you would have, you know, fulfill all the law and all the commandments. Many people say God, Jesus, condemned the commandments. He didn't condemn the commandments. He condensed them to two. But if you got enough logic in you, you can see that if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and your mind, you wouldn't put no idol god against above him. You wouldn't use his name in vain. You would keep his Sabbath holy. Those things you would do if there was the right love. And let's look at the second six. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you truly loved your neighbor, see what the world is lacking is love. All these boys on the street killing each other. Police officers don't give a good to hoot about shooting a black boy in his head for no reason. That's no love. Come on now. A man is dating a woman because she don't want him no more, and he taking set of the fire. That's not love. Love is missing. And that's a fact. So the second commandment, the second thing, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you wouldn't go with your neighbor's wife. You wouldn't go with your neighbor's husband. Because love would be able to help you to discern against that. You wouldn't kill your neighbor. You wouldn't steal from your neighbor. You would truly love your mother and father so you could live on earth long. You see, so he took the 10 and condensed it to 2, but if you do the 2, hallelujah, you would have covered all of them. And he went further than that. He said, because if you do that, he said, on these 2 commandments hang all the law. And remember, there were 613, and all the prophets. That means everything that the prophets were saying that God told them to say for the people. The rules, the prophets would say, if y'all don't honor God by nightfall, the whatever, things like that. But God said, if you do these 2 commandments, you would and you would have covered everything necessary for you to cover. I'm talking about love. You see, God had a master plan, and love had high priorities on his plan, in his plan, to win people to love him and to truly love one another. You see, love for God and man comprehends the whole, the entire definition of a Christian. And to produce this, remember, I told you, he always gave us evidence, and he always gave us the provisions we need to accomplish. So what he did, in a book, which is the Bible, which is God's love letter to us. You know, you write a letter to somebody you love to let them know what you're going to do for them, to let them know how you feel about them. You know, you might have to tell them how you're going to protect them, and you got to tell them that you'll never walk out on them and leave it. You see, the Holy Bible is God's love letter to us. Take time one day and write a love letter to him. You see, but what he did, he started off in Genesis. He gave us Moses. Moses wrote the first 5 books, and it's called the books of the law. God said, I'm not going to have the ignorant. I'm going to tell you what I want from you. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you. And I'm going to tell you what I would want you to do towards me. But I'm not going to force you. I'm going to give you a free will. Because I want you to love on me because you want to love on me, not because you're forced to love on me. He gave us the first five books was the law. He turned around and gave us the prophets because, you see, man had sin, and sin separated us from God, and common man couldn't go before God. So God sent the prophets, and the people would tell the prophets what they wanted from God, and the prophets would go to God, and God would tell the prophets what he wanted from the people, and the prophets would go back to God. You see, because the prophets was the givers of God's message. They were God's mouthpiece, who he spoke through. They was like Jesus, they was God's vessel, passing his message to people. So he gave us the law. He gave us the prophets, telling us what to do right and how not to do wrong, and love him and how he loves you. He gave us all of that in his love letter. And that was in the Old Testament, so that was 39 books was in that love letter. But you see, he didn't stop there. Hallelujah. He came into the New Testament, and he continued writing the love letter. You see, the Savior was in this letter. And he was our example of love and our assurance of salvation. And he included the apostles in that one. Don't we have 13 books from Paul? Come on, y'all. Didn't James give us a book? He let John write Revelation and the other men write the Gospels. Because he said, I'm not going to have you ignorant. I'm not going to have you hitting and missing. I'm not going to have you guessing. And then he allowed Jesus to commission and teach the disciples. And he told them in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and make disciples. Make disciples out of who? Out of you and me. In all the nation, baptizing us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, here we see if we learn to truly love God with our whole being and love others as we love ourselves, many things that's going wrong in this world. Will fall into place. Many things in your home that's out of order could fall into place. The other scripture that was on there that I didn't just particularly read, but the Holy Ghost is giving it to me now. It said, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has not seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he loveth God, that he who loveth God loves his brother. Get your house in order with love. There's so many people. I don't speak to my mother. I'm not speaking to my sisters now. I'm not speaking to my brother. I don't speak to this one. I don't speak to my neighbors. But yet you're going to fix your mouth to talking about how you love God. You see, because true love hides a multitude of sins. And God is going to call you a hypocrite because you're not speaking to them because you feel they did something that you didn't like. But in the same way, you have children who maybe mess over you, do all kind of things you don't like. but you love them just the same. Because you see, you put that kind of love on them. You love them in spite of. But everybody you got to love, you got to love because of. Because of maybe what they could do for you, how they keep telling you you look so good, how they do whatever they do. See, God loved us in spite of. We was a hot mess. And we still a mess. The Bible say we filthy dish rags. But God loves us just the same. And God love forgave us. That's how we have been extended with the blood of Jesus. But now, get your house straight. Learn how to forgive. The Bible didn't say you have to forgive and forget. But you got to forgive. Just like Jesus forgave you. How could you want all the forgiveness in the world? And you could be so mad or disappointed with somebody that you can't forgive them. But you want God to forgive you what the scripture said. When a man say, how many times I forgive? 7 times 77 times 77? Love is important. The more you love, the more you know, the more you could show. People cannot tell your relationship without God if they can't see love in your life. And see, like Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. And then he said it in another way, when I was hungry, you fed me. You see, that's love. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. That's love. Can anybody see any evidence in you that you have the love of Christ living inside of you? And this is, I think this is real simple. And I think we all, I ain't say you, I say we all can visit this thing called love. When we going around talking about somebody, sometimes it get out and it ruin their character. That's not love. And the old folks used to say, if they can't say something good, don't say nothing. And I want you to know that Jesus loves us. And there's a song, This I Know, because the Bible tells me so. The 66 books of the Bible is a love letter from God to you. In his love letter, he tell you that I'm going to take care of you. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He said, I'm going to make you, let you be the head and not the tail. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, where I'm going to be, that's where I want you to be. Don't that sound like a lover? Where you are, where I am, I want you to be. Because I'm going to take you to my Father's house. And in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told it to you. Jesus said, I got to go, you know. He said, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you because I love you. And on that day when he present us to the Father, he's going to tell God, the word of God says, that I brought back everyone that you have given me. See, we are given by God. We are given to Jesus by God. Jesus said, I brought everyone you gave me back except Judas. He said, yeah, I kept them, God. Even though they weren't acting right, because they had the seal on them. And yeah, God, I kept them, even though they wouldn't communicate with me in prayer. Even though they wouldn't cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he said, I kept them. Now that's love. And the perfect love, as the scriptures we started out, has no fear. Because fear is built with torture. And when you begin to love and love everybody, you really have a peace of mind. You know how hard it is not to love somebody sometimes. You know how hard it is to be angry and don't forgive somebody sometimes. And I could tell you plenty of the people you ain't forgiving, you still holding in your heart, and they done forgot all about it. They ain't studying about that. Get your house in order. Well, maybe first get your heart in order. And once your heart is in order, I guarantee your house would be in order. And that's our program for tonight. Love. A little short, four-letter word, but holds the key to many facets of our life. And God so loved us that he gave his best. He gave us all of his riches, Jesus Christ. How much he loved us. Now, how much do we love him is the question. That's our lesson. Anyone would like to add to it? Give encouragement. Pray, sing. This is our Bible study. Is God touching anyone's heart to do anything on tonight? Just press the one button and I'll open the mic. God is extending the opportunity. And Sister Elyria, since your button was already pressed, if you want to say something, I couldn't get another prompt. So I'm going to just open your mic. If you don't have anything to say, I'll close it back. Sister Mackie. Sister Mackie.
I said I would.
I'm sorry, start over.
I said I was sitting here singing a song.
Oh, okay. You want to lead us out with a song since no one have anything to say?
I can do that.
All righty.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. There's no shackles on me. I'm as free as I can be. Because Jesus, he gave his own life. He paid it all on Calvary, where he died for you and me. I thank God I am redeemed. Where there was hate, love now abides. Where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. See, we've been bought with a price. Nobody but Jesus, He changed our lives. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I'm redeemed. I'll tell of His favor. I'll tell of His love. I'll tell of His goodness to me. He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been made free. Yes, I am, I'm redeemed. See, I've been bought with a price. Jesus, He changed my life. If anybody asks you just who I am, you can tell them that I am, I'm redeemed. Yes, I am. Yes, we are. We've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. Nobody but Jesus can change
it. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Maggie. If anyone else would like to do anything at this time, you could press the one button. If not, I will be leading us out for tonight with a benediction. Thank you again, Sister Minister Maggie.
You are welcome.
And all I'm going to use for tonight, I think, which is appropriate for the lesson, that we should love the Lord with all our heart and love others as we love ourselves. And keep in mind a simple golden rule. Don't do things to other people you don't want done to you. And I'm going to end with 2 Peter 3:18. Peter is asking us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's also my prayer for each and every one of you. God bless you and be with you until we meet again. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next Wednesday, same time, same station. Amen, and be blessed. Good night.